Good morning. Welcome to you to the Lord's house as we also celebrate the significant women in our lives. Happy Mother's Day to each of you. About 55 years ago and a few weeks on top of that, my mother celebrated her first Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to you, Mom. I love you. And to this day, my folks still occupy that third row, third pew from the back, almost every Sunday. So very blessed to have them still in my life. As always, we want to encourage everyone to please sign the attendance register at the end of the pew and pass it on for your neighbors to sign. If you are a first-time visitor to Berea Christian Church this morning, we'd like to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to honor your presence with a small gift that we'll bring to you where you're seated if you'll simply raise your hand to let us know where you're seated. Any first-time visitors, please raise your hand. All right. Men, please note that our men's gathering for the month of May will be this Thursday evening, May 17th at 6:30. If you would please fill out the little flyer in the bulletin and place it in the offering tray later in this morning's service so we can get a count for meal preparation. Any youth interested in attending the summer camps at Tall Oaks need to contact the church office as soon as possible. And also be reminded next Sunday, May 20th, which is also Pentecost Sunday, we will be privileged to honor our graduations from high school, colleges, universities, trade schools, any significant graduations. There will be a bulletin insert describing each graduate affiliated with our fellowship here at Berea Christian Church. If you haven't already done so, please contact us in a church office and let us know about your graduates so we can recognize them next Sunday. Have a little note about our website, BereaChristianChurch.com. We've recently resolved some technical issues that have prevented us from uploading many of the audio recordings of our Sunday services. So going forward, we should be able to keep our podcasts up to date, but we don't plan to go and backfill all those missing weeks. It's just more work than we have time for. But if there's a recent Sunday service that you would like to hear and you don't see it on the website, please let us know and we'll address those on a one-by-one basis. Also, save the date. Vacation Bible School 2018 is scheduled for the week of July 23rd through 27th. We'll have a sign-up sheet on the back table in the next few weeks for that. Do we have any other announcements this morning? All right, Andrew.
Please rise for the call to worship. Sing to the Lord because of the great things he has done. Let everyone who lives in Zion shout and sing. Israel's holy God is great, and he lives among his people. Let us sing hymn number 91, stanzas 1 and 3.
Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord. Forget the wormwood and the gall, your speed, your trophies at his feet, and crown him Lord of all. Go spread your trophies at his feet, and crown him Lord of all.
May we bow in prayer. But Lord God, as we celebrate yet another day of life, we lift up the Christian home and we give you thanks for the many tender times when our mothers and fathers have mirrored your love for us. We remember our parents driving us to ball games and school events and to church. We remember their sacrifices even as they gave up much needed rest and sleep to raise us according to your ways. And Lord, we remember those families torn apart and losing their way to separation and divorce and sometimes domestic violence. We acknowledge that not all of your children have the same privileges as we do. We pray, O merciful God, that your loving hand be upon each of us on this Mother's Day as we begin our worship in your caring and parental way. As a parent with a new baby, so do we ask that you embrace us as we enter in your house and we begin our worship together. In the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you, wish them a happy Mother's Day, and welcome each other to worship. Please be seated. At this time, we'd like to invite our kiddos to come forward for our children's sermon as we sing from page 511, Strong, Gentle Children.
Strong, gentle children, God made you beautiful, gave you the wisdom and power you in the stillness, all you are longing for, live out your calling to love and to lead.
Good morning. Did you all remember to be really nice to your mothers this morning? Moms? Should probably ask the moms rather than the kids, because they aren't going to admit it anyway. Yeah. See what I have here? You know what that is, don't you? A glow stick. You're right. It's a glow bracelet. When I look at this glow stick, it kind of reminds me of my mother. And we get those faces again. I love the faces. When I confuse them. Now, how can a glow stick possibly remind me of mother? Oh, you have a thought? Oh, the girl with the faces. She's going to give me a thought. What's your thought?
Because they shine.
Good. That's right. When I think of my mom and my grandmas and my aunts and my spiritual moms that in the churches that I went to, just a minute, I kind of get this warm feeling in my heart. And I like to think if we could see the word love, the kind of love that our moms have for us, it'd kind of look like that. It'd glow. Because I kind of glow when I think of my children and my grandchildren. And I know the mothers around and grandmothers do too. You can tell. When they talk about their kids and their grandkids, they get a glow on their face. It's a glow that we get because so much love. And moms and grandmas, they always love us, don't they? Does your mom always love you? Even when you don't listen?
Yes.
Does she love you when you're being ornery?
No.
Oh, I think she does. I think she does. Does she love you when you don't make a good decision?
Yes.
Yeah. This is an ornery face if I ever saw one in my life. Does she love you when you don't pay any attention at all, Jace?
Yes.
Yes. Mothers love us even when they have to tell us no. Even when they have to discipline us. Yeah, they always love us. They don't like the things we do sometimes, but they love us. That's the same kind of love God feels for us. He does not always like some of the things that we do. And he doesn't always like some of the decisions we make or the things that we say. But he always loves us. His arms are always open, just like mama's. Mamas always say, come and give me a hug. I got to send you to your room for being bad, but come and give me a hug. Yeah? Yeah. Okay. Before you leave, each one of you can have a glow stick. And today, when you're looking at that glow stick, I want you to think about how moms always love us. What's up, dude?
I want a glow stick.
You can have a glow stick. Think about how moms always love us and how God's always love it. What's up, Jace? All right, let's say a prayer, can we please? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us those women in our lives who love us always, no matter where we are or what we do, whether they're mothers, grandmothers, aunts. We don't care who they are by title. We just know their love, that they reflect your love in our lives every day. Help us to be especially nice to our mothers today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer, a number of people for us to remember. We especially want to lift up John and Dorinda Hoke in our prayers, as John has begun his treatments for the tumor that he had behind his right eye and making good progress with that. We lift up Patty Miller as she is making her recovery from the fractures that she has in her right leg. Betty Sillen is in hospice care, but this past week she was out and about from where she lives, and that certainly is encouraging news for her. We lift up Freddie Nichols as she continues to be at Linden Woods, and we lift up Peggy and Jerry Treese as they made their move this past week, but again, both still recovering from knee surgery. So with these and other people in mind in our prayers, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we offer you honor and praise as we worship you this Lord's Day morning, and on this special Sunday set aside to honor our mothers and the loving women who have inspired us along life's journey. We express our genuine thanks for the nurturing and compassionate souls of the many women through the centuries, and in our own time, who have borne the care and responsibility of generations. Lord God, we seek your blessing for mothers and women of faith gathered here in this place of worship. We seek your abiding presence for those mothers who especially may be experiencing challenging concerns for their children and grandchildren. We seek your comfort for women who have lost their children early or even later in life. We pray for mothers who may be estranged from their children or those whose children live great distances. And as each of us reflect upon our mothers, our teachers, our Sunday school teachers, nursery attendants, vacation Bible school leaders, and other women of faith who have inspired us on our journey, we offer our thanks and praise for the nurturing compassion and special attention we have so graciously received by all these women who have helped to shape our lives of faithfulness to you. And as we offer praise to you this and every Lord's Day, may each of us discover ways, great and small, in which we may honor our mothers, living or deceased, this Mother's Day, and every day in which you bless us with the breath of life. We offer this prayer on behalf of the people of God as we remember how our Lord Jesus teaches us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Phil, we thank you for offering our scripture reading this morning.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the fourth chapter, starting with verse 25 through 30, and you may find that in the Pew Bible on page 971. The woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came, and they were astonished he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Continuing our reading with the 39th through the 42nd verses, many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know this is truly the Savior of the world." This is part of the story of God as told by the people of God. Blessed be the Lord.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I am on
This Mother's Day, we are touched by the way Jesus honored his mother in a most significant way. Even as he bore the agony of the cross, we must remember that, as John's Gospel records, Jesus saw his mother at the foot of his cross, and he commended her care to one of his closest disciples, John. This was an important step because in Jewish tradition, the eldest brother always had the responsibility of his parents as they grew older. And with Joseph deceased, the care of Jesus' mother Mary was indeed essential. Even as he endured the agonizing burden of the cross, it is important to recognize that Jesus did not neglect his responsibility for the ongoing care of Mary. And as we recognize through Christ's death on the cross and his victory over sin and death, we recognize that his resurrection attests to the fact that Jesus also cares deeply for the spiritual welfare and care of every one of God's children. We celebrate Christ's great compassion for his mother and indeed for each of us as we participate in the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper. Our communion hymn this morning is number 392 as we sing stanzas 1 and 3 of Draw Us In, the Spirit's Tether.
Draw us in, the Spirit's tether, for when humbly in your name together, you are in the midst of them. Alleluia, alleluia. Touch me now, your garment's hem. All our meals and our as sacraments of you, that by caring, helping, giving, we may be disciples true. Alleluia, alleluia.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Anna leads us in a word of prayer.
Lord, we thank you for this glorious day in which we take a moment to honor our mothers who gave us life and taught us to follow you and live our lives through Christ. We are thankful for this cup and this bread, which represents your continued and everlasting love for us. Lord, we ask that you bless this cup and bread that we may be filled with your greatness. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. Wilma was the 20th of 22 children, and she suffered from polio and from serious bouts of pneumonia and scarlet fever as a child. All those ailments contributed to a bad leg that many claimed would make it impossible for her to walk. But because of the compassionate care of her mother, and as many of those family members pitched in, Wilma received physical therapy 4 times a day as she struggled to improve her plight. At the age of 5, Wilma wore a leg brace until one Sunday when she was 11, she removed the brace and walked boldly down the aisle of her church. At age 13, Wilma became involved in basketball and track. Soon she was running and winning races. At 56, while a sophomore in high school, Wilma participated in the Olympic Games in Melbourne, Australia. She lost the 200-meter race, but her relay team took home the bronze. She became more determined as she went on to college and eventually into the Olympics in 1960, where she won 3 gold medals. After college, she became a teacher and a coach and achieved many significant honors, all because of the compassionate care of her mother and dear family members who made it possible for her to achieve the impossible. As we receive our offering this morning, we are mindful of how we too can achieve the impossible with the resources God gives us, as Wanda leads us in a word of prayer.
Let us pray. Lord, we ask for you to guide us every day in the decisions we make and guide us to do our best for you. We also ask for you to use our offering to do your glorious work. Bless the gift and the giver. Thank you for all your many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. May we offer a word of prayer. Lord God, we give thanks on this Mother's Day for the truth that Christ honored and elevated the status of women in his day. May we also do the same in our time. It's in his name we give thanks. Amen. You know, we're still in this season called Eastertide, and as we have been exploring the various ways that Christ's transformative power in his resurrected form made a difference in people's lives, we also recognize that even as Jesus made his journey day by day, he made a difference, especially in the lives of women and very much of a male-dominated culture. He was very countercultural in the way that he approached women. Before we take a look at those biblical stories that lift up that truth, we first of all have to understand the place that women endured during the time that Christ resided here on earth. It was a Jewish culture that was predominantly patriarchal. The daily prayers of Jewish men even included a prayer of thanksgiving in which the men would say, "Praise be to God that you did not create me a woman." Now that's pretty sad, isn't it? But it's the truth. Now imagine a young man saying that early on in a prayer to God, and how you say it year after year after year, you can kind of build up a pretty big ego, right? And again, imagine the mindset that many men had about women as they just journeyed on through life. A woman's place was considered to be in the home. Now, that home was either in the home of her father or in the home of the man to whom she was married. And women generally married very young and were therefore under the protection but also the authority of that male figure for the duration of life. And in fact, even if a woman became a widow, she would then typically be under the care and authority of a man in the husband's household, you know, like a brother, for example. So again, a woman's life was typically dominated by some male figure. And if that male person was not a good person, you could see how it was a rather vulnerable kind of existence that women had to endure in the midst of this Jewish culture. Women had very little access to property or inheritance except through a male relative, and any money that a woman earned belonged to who? The man. Still the case sometimes, isn't it, ladies? You know? Men could divorce their wives for almost any reason simply by giving them a writ of divorce, like scribbling something on a scrap of paper almost and then just handing them to it. And then at that point, the problem was that woman was destined to often a life of poverty. And yet a woman could not divorce her husband. So she was always under that potential thumb, if you will, of that authority of the husband. And some Jewish writers in Jesus' day, like Philo, taught that women should never leave the home except to go to the synagogue, but women were never allowed to study the Jewish sacred text, which is, of course, the Torah in this time period, the first five books of the Bible. And one first century teacher, Rabbi Eliezer, wrote, "Rather should the word of the Torah be burned than entrusted to a woman." Pretty sad, isn't it? In synagogues, women were separated from the men and were not permitted to read aloud. Women were also, as I had mentioned in sermons not too long ago, not permitted to bear any witness in a religious court. And at the temple in Jerusalem, women were restricted to the outer court. And in public places, no man was ever able to greet or to speak to a woman. So again, imagine just all the sense of isolation that resided for women in this time period. Now, with that backdrop of culture then, let's look at some of the stories of Scripture in the Gospels and see how Jesus chose to respond to women with whom he came in contact. We first of all take a look at the story of the widow from Nain. This is in Luke's Gospel, the 7th chapter. You know how the story goes. The woman and the procession are coming out of the city gates, and there is the litter with the body of her only son, now deceased. Now the fact that her husband was deceased and now her son is deceased, this woman was destined to a life of pretty abject poverty. She was really going to be simply living off the graces of her own neighbors. You know, but having a substantive lifestyle was going to be very difficult. And yet, as this procession is coming out of the city gate, Jesus and his entourage, they're passing along. Now, the typical rule of thumb would have been for them to just pass along and allow the procession to go forward and nothing to be said or done. That would have been the norm. What does Jesus do, however? Jesus goes up to the woman, the widow, right? He's already broken a rule there, has he not? The very fact that he goes and approaches a woman. And to approach someone who's in the midst of this kind of ceremony was even also kind of a disruption in the process, was it not? But again, he goes up to her, and with his heart filled with pity, Luke chapter 7, verse 13, the text says, he said to her, "Don't cry." And then, of course, he goes over to the litter and he touches the body of the deceased son. Again, rendering himself unclean in his culture, but yet not wanting to just follow along with the taboos of the day, but yet wanting to offer up a level of redemption for this widowed woman. Of course, the son comes back to life, and therefore Jesus brings not only the son to life, but creates a new life for the widow, as she would therefore then have an avenue of income through her son. A second story, how about the prostitute in Simon's house? You know the story. Simon, the Pharisee, they're having the meal. Jesus with the disciples and whomever else is gathered in there. The woman sneaks in. She anoints Jesus's feet with this expensive perfume and dries his feet with her hair. You know that story. But of course, as the text goes, it says, when the Pharisee saw this happening, he says to himself, if this man, meaning Jesus, really were a prophet, he would know who this woman is who's touching him. He would know what kind of sinful life she lives. You see, he's only looking at the woman as an object here. But Jesus looks at her as a person. And with great, genuine compassion, he says to her, you know, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Again, willing to offer up a level of personal regard and compassion, which is very unique for the circumstance. And then, of course, in the Gospel of Mark, the 5th chapter, as well as in Matthew 9 and Luke chapter 8, we have this story of the woman who touches the hem of Jesus' outer garment. Of course, what's happening in this story is that you know that the group of people are going along, and of course, woman just believes in her heart of hearts, which was a common belief in the time period, that if she could just touch the rabbi, that the rabbi's healing power would make her well. And yet, in a very secretive manner, she approaches the group and is able to kind of meander her way into the crowd and touch just the edge of Jesus' outer garment. Jesus feels the healing power come out of his life, right? Come out from within himself.
He notices that. And he said, who touched me? And yet, at this point, the woman's got to be profoundly embarrassed as her whole circumstance is brought to light. And yet, with a great deal of courage, rather than just running away, she goes ahead and says, it's me. And yet, Jesus also approaches her with a great, great measure of genuine care. Again, we look at verse 34 of this text in the gospel. Jesus says, my daughter, and that, there's more packed into that word than we realize. He's basically saying, you are a daughter of Abraham. Again, it was a great sense of pride for Jewish men of the time to be able to say that they were sons of Abraham. But little was said about the daughters of Abraham, and yet here Jesus lifts her up. He says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your trouble. And how about the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well in Samaria? Jesus breaks a couple of taboos, does he not? First of all, he comes up to the well. There's this woman. Not only is it a woman, but this is also a Samaritan woman. Jesus strikes up a conversation as he asks for a drink, right? He's talking to a woman in a public place. Additionally, he's talking to a Samaritan. No Jew speaks to a Samaritan, male or female. Jesus breaks through all those barriers, carries on a conversation with her in such a way that she is so inspired that she wants other people of her community to know what she has found in this man. The disciples come on the scene as you read this story in John's Gospel, the fourth chapter. If you look at verse 27, it says that none of them said to her, what do you want? Or asked him, meaning Jesus, why are you talking to her? You know, by this time, the disciples had begun to understand that Jesus is kind of different from the culture. He's willing to break the barriers, and they're not saying a thing. But they are still kind of taken aback by Jesus' actions here. And yet this Samaritan woman is so touched by the great compassion and attention that Christ is willing to give her that we know that she is indeed brought into a living relationship with Christ. And again, many of the other people are so touched that as you look at verse 42, they say, we believe now because we ourselves have heard him and we know that he really is the Savior of the world. Another story is the woman who's caught in adultery, John chapter 8. In that story, of course, the Jewish Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they are bringing this woman caught in adultery before Jesus. They don't care at all about her or her circumstances. I often wonder, well, where was the man? How come the man's not brought up? You see, the man got off scot-free. They bring the woman in to make an object out of her. She's just a tool in the midst of their endeavor to trap Jesus. For if Jesus says, oh, let her go, well, then they could say, ah, Jesus doesn't care about the law. If he says, oh, stone her to death, then they can say, oh, Jesus just has no compassion. You see, it didn't matter how Jesus was to respond. They thought they had Jesus in a trap. Of course, you know, in the story, he says, that person who has never sinned, that person can cast the first stone, right? And as they start wandering off, of course, there's Jesus left with the woman. And in verse 10, where are they? Jesus asked. There's no one left. Is there no one left to condemn you? No one, sir, she answered. Jesus says, well then, I do not condemn you either. In other words, I'm not wanting to make an object out of you. You're a human being and God loves you. But leave this place and sin no more. Start new. Start fresh. Have a new direction. And of course, the sixth story is actually the crippled woman that's healed on the Sabbath.
Again, another example where a woman is just simply used as an object, as a means to an end, and not seen as a human being. The official of the synagogue condemned Jesus for healing the crippled woman in the synagogue during the worship. He's prattling on about how healing was doing work on the Sabbath while giving no regard whatsoever for the welfare of the suffering woman. In his rebuke of the Jewish official and the other indignant men who had gathered there, Jesus declared in verse 15, "You hypocrites, any of you would untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and take it out to give it water on the Sabbath." Now here is this daughter of Abraham. Notice again, Jesus is elevating the status of this woman by calling her a daughter of Abraham. He says, "A daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept in bonds for 18 years, should she not be released on the Sabbath?" In other words, surely you take care of your animals. Should we not take care of a suffering child of God? And in this case, a daughter of Abraham. Time and time again, Jesus speaks to women in public. He offers healing and redemption for women who would have simply been pitied or outright ignored by others. Jesus offers personal regard and integrity to women. And it all was exceptionally distinctive in his time period. And so on this Mother's Day, and in every day that we make our journey through our lives, we should be about the task of honoring not only our mothers, but the women in our lives who have blessed us in so many ways. And we should always be striving to honor the integrity, the dignity of women in life. A text I share with you from Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. "You are all one in union with Christ Jesus." Do you know Christ? If He's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is the day that you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way that I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is the day you need to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I want to extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's number 351, "Fill My Cup, Lord." Let us stand and sing stanzas 1 and 3 of hymn number 351.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy.
God bless you, Susan.
And then I heard my Savior speaking, "Draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it aboard. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me all the things this world gave you, leave hungers that won't pass away. My blessed Lord will come and save you if you kneel to Him and humbly pray. Fill my cup, Lord. Quench this thirst.
blessing of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
Please have a seat for a moment, if you will. We want to celebrate the fact that Susan Hanks has chosen to come forward this morning, and Susan is making a transfer of her membership from the Cypress Creek Christian Church in the Houston area, where she resided for a number of years. Bruce Froge is the pastor there, and Bruce's mother, Lois, was actually a very dear and precious member of First Christian Church in Lincoln. She was kind of our right-arm person for helping us with all of our care to our homebound people. So we've had a kind of a connection, haven't we, Susan, as well as just having a little bit familiarity about Texas, right? You may recall that Cypress Creek was a church we lifted up in the midst of the flooding that had taken place back several months ago, and we sure hope that the congregation there has been able to kind of get a few puzzle pieces put back together.
They're slowly
trying to get things together. It's a huge task to deal with because a lot of the facility was flooded. It was Cypress Creek, remember. So that certainly has a lot of bearing on it.
Right behind the church.
Absolutely. But Susan, it's my pleasure to, on behalf of our congregation here, to welcome you as I again ask, do you believe indeed with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? As you've accepted him as Lord and Savior, do you renew that commitment today?
I do.
God bless you, Susan, and we welcome you into the fellowship of Berry Christian Church.
Thank you,
Susan. And Susan, thank you so much. And Susan, we hope you'll greet us at the door, if you wouldn't mind. But also, I want to lift up also the fact that Bob and Betty Maddox have asked that their membership be transferred from the Park Hill Christian Church here to Berry Christian Church. And so, Bob and Betty, it's going to be our joy to welcome you both. God bless you. Thank you so much. And Bob is now retired from ministry, but for many, many years, not only did he work, a civilian job, so to speak, but also served many churches of a smaller size over many years. The latest congregation was the Christian Church in Newmark, Missouri. And so, Bob, we are indeed great. New Market. I got to get the whole name. Thank you. It seems a little unusual name, isn't it? New Market. So help me get that correct in my head. Right. Like I know, like James Port. Where's the port in the middle of where'd they get that name? But again, our privilege to welcome you both as well. And may we have a word of prayer. Lord God, as we depart from your house, we give thanks for the privilege to be here in worship and to celebrate our new members, Lord. And we just pray for your guidance and blessing to abide with them as we journey forward with the new week. And especially on this Mother's Day, it is with joy and thanksgiving that we truly celebrate the women of our lives. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please stand for the closing.
I am the light of the world. You people come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to do and be. When the song of the angels is still, when the star in the sky is gone, when the Magi and the shepherds have found their way home,
true work of Christmas is begun. I am the light of the world. You people come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to do and be. To bring hope to every task you do, to dance at a baby's new birth, to make music in an old person's heart, and sing to the colors of the earth. I am the light of the world. You come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to do and be.